Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
I don't know. Let's ask our guest. He's expert at it. Covers college football for The Athletic. Chris Vanini, happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks for having me.
Chris, the coaching carousel seems to have come to a stop, but there's always a chance it cranks back up. I'm wondering this, Chris. How do you assess the status of Scott Satterfield right now at University of Louisville?
Obviously, you know, a tough bowl loss. It's kind of been a weird couple of years. But for a lot of places, this was not the year you kind of wanted to make a coaching change if you didn't have to, just because you knew – so many schools were going to open and there was going to be such a wide carousel. Your top targets might go elsewhere. Prices might get driven up for salaries. You know, he's done a solid job. It's obviously not the job that that Louisville expects. And the last couple of games to go out that way is certainly not a good feeling going into the offseason.
How much do you think, and we were discussing it before we brought it on, his dalliance with South Carolina last year has hurt his goodwill with both the university and the Louisville fan base?
Well, I'm sure it's hurt with everybody. I mean, that's never a good situation when someone you're in a relationship with, you find out has been potentially seeking another relationship elsewhere. That always hurts. The only way to change that is to win. And, you know, he didn't have – it was a better season this year, but it was not, you know, the kind of big season that people hope. So winning will cure everything, but certainly that plays a factor, although the administrative turnover at Louisville may lessen that a little bit now.
We're joined by Chris Vanini of The Athletic. Chris, when you look at all the coaching changes over the past few months, which one stands out to you the most? Maybe there's one under the radar that we're not talking about as much as we should.
You mean like in a positive way?
Either way, something that you just think could be make such a difference, good or bad, for the future of that school.
Well, it's not a big one here, but I think maybe one of the most surprising hires was Joe Moorhead getting the Akron job. He, you know, was the former head coach at Mississippi State, former Penn State offense coordinator. He's the offense coordinator at at Oregon. And he could have had a Power 5 job potentially if he wanted one, but he wanted to go back to Akron, near where his family's from, near where his, I think his son still plays football. So Akron, which might be the worst job in FBS, suddenly has this pretty accomplished coach who could do a lot. So that's a real under-the-radar hire, I think, you know, that maybe a lot of people didn't notice, but, you know, it was kind of a real eye-opener.
Is there one that surprised you? And, of course, you know, we had the big names. I didn't see Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal. I didn't see Brian Kelly going to LSU. But is there one that surprises you fit-wise? You look at it and you go, huh, that's curious. I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm curious how – I mean, really, Brian Kelly, you know, he's been successful everywhere he's been, but he's never been at a place like LSU. He's never been in the SEC. Most of his Notre Dame staff is not following him. He's having to put together a new staff. You know, recruiting should go pretty well because it's LSU and anybody can recruit there, but – I'm very curious to see how that whole fit is going to be. And, you know, if things don't go well for a period of time, how he handles that.
There are a number of guys who are going to be head coaches for the first time. Tony Elliott going to Virginia, Brent Venables to Oklahoma. You've got Rhett Lashley. It goes on and on. Amongst the guys who are moving up to be head coaches, which one do you expect to have the most immediate success?
Rhett Lashley at SMU is probably going to be near that top. You know, he's been at SMU before, so he knows the place. He has been preparing and trying to get a head coaching job for a long time now. I sat in on some meetings with him at SMU here in Dallas when Sonny Dykes got the job, And you can tell this guy has a complete plan in place and knows what he wants to do. He just needed that head coaching opportunity. Now he's getting it. And SMU is going to have a lot of star power coming back. Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback, their top receiver, Rashee Rice, just announced he's coming back. They're a really good running back. Ulysses Bentley announced he's coming back. They've added some transfers. So I think SMU is going to be a real solid team next year and may not have a large drop-off for Lashley in his first season.
How do you feel about Kalen DeBoer going to Washington?
Makes a lot of sense. The guy has won, you know, he's had two head coaching jobs and had a lot of success there. This year's Fresno State team was a top 25 team for much of the year. Kalen DeBoer is a really smart offensive mind. There's a lot of talent at Washington. They just could not really put it together. That offense was a complete mess. So I think DeBoer coming in with Ryan Grubb as offensive coordinator should get that back in the right direction. And that defense was already pretty solid. So they're losing some players, but they should be okay on that side of the ball. It was a quick drop-off very quickly for Washington. Just a couple of years ago, they were, you know, winning in the Pac-12 championship, going to the Rose Bowl. And the Jimmy Lake situation just fell apart very quickly. So I think it's a really good hire.
We're joined by Chris Vanini of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Vanini. Chris, looking ahead to next year, I mean, I can't imagine another situation where we have coaches moving as much as they did this past season. The coaching carousel was spinning like crazy starting in week two with Clay Helton being let go at Southern Cal. But looking ahead, though, are there some jobs you see coming open if certain guys don't perform, and what are the expectations those guys need to meet to keep their jobs?
You know, I got to say, I've not even really looked ahead toward next year's hot seat yet because a lot of things still have to play out. You know, we had 28 changes this year. That's above average. The average usually like 24, 25, but it ended up not being as crazy as maybe we thought, which is kind of wild when you have Notre Dame and Oklahoma and LSU and Miami all changing coaches. The total numbers were not as high. What was so different about this cycle, and I'm curious if it'll continue next year, is how many coaches were fired in the middle of the season. You know, that was new. That was something we hadn't seen before. Guys fired in week 3, 4, and 5. You know, Texas Tech wins their bowl game yesterday. They fired Matt Wells when they were 5-3. You know, so that was a different situation. The early signing period is a big part of it. You want to get your new head coach in as soon as possible. But the early signing period is like 5 years old. You know, that was not a new thing. There was just a real panic that when a couple teams fired their coach early, other schools felt like, I got to get in early on some candidates. We got to make a move now too. So I'm curious going into next year, you know, if a couple teams start off poorly, are they going to look to fire their coach in the middle of the season as well? Are there lessons to take from this cycle or not? So that's something I think will be really interesting.
You know, that's an interesting point, Chris, because I guess Southern Cal set the market, and being such a big brand, such an identifiable, you know, brand in the world of college football, firing the coach week two to get ahead of everything just set off a whole bunch of dominoes tumbling. It started with Southern Cal. They set the market.
They did, and I'm not even sure how much that played a role, because they didn't hire their coach until the Oklahoma regular season was over. And Lincoln Riley, you know, I'm sure there's backdoor conversations, but he said they hadn't heard from USC until pretty much right after that. And it was a thing that came together pretty quickly. So I don't know really if firing Clay Helton that early made a difference or not, but I think in some situations, if you know you're going to fire the guy, you kind of got to do it before he gets the chance to kind of maybe turn it around and give you reason to keep him if you're fully committed to move on.
It's good stuff from Chris Vanini. He covers college football for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Vanini. Chris, I know you're slammed, pal. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Happy holidays.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All righty. It's Chris Vanini of The Athletic.